Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Geox Group of Fiscal Year 2022 Results Conference Call. The call is chaired by the Geox Chairman and Founder, Mr. Mario Moretti Polegato, the CEO, Mr. Diego Bolzanello, the Corporate Managing Director, Mr. Massimo Stefanello, and the CFO, Mr. Livio Libralesso. Please.
Good evening to everybody, and thank you to attending this conference call. As usual, here with me, there are Diego Bolzanello, CEO, Massimo Stefanello, Corporate Director, and Livio Libralesso, CFO. Massimo and Livio will start giving you a brief overview of Geox results. Diego will then give you a final comment before your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and good afternoon. This is Massimo Stefanello speaking. My headline of today's numbers is that we are presenting a quarter that went beyond our expectation, driven by the DOS sales of a strong Autumn/Winter 10 collection, very well received by the consumers. As I'm sure that you have already seen our press release, let me go very quickly through the full year 2010 key results. Sales have been 850 million, being 1.7 below 2009, thanks to an indeed surprising positive Q4, both in the franchising part of the business and in the DOS. Please remember that at the end of Q1, the gap versus 2009 was minus 13.3%. Q4 has performed beyond expectation in our store, as the aggregate like-for-like growth versus the corresponding quarter of last year was plus 12%. The full-price autumn-winter season has grown of 14%. The like-for-like of the entire year 2010 was therefore plus 7%. Through 2010, the company generated 132 million euro of EBITDA with a percentage on sales of 15.6%. This means a dilution versus previous year of 360 basis points, which is in line with the guidance provided almost a year ago, despite a very volatile year. EBIT was euro 93 million. This means 11% on sales. Net income is down 13% at euro 58 million, with a margin on sales of 6.8%. Our net cash continues to remain solid at euro 92 million. During the year, we added 31 monobrand stores, raising the total number to 1,039. As disclosed back in November, the order intake for Spring-Summer 11 season is growing for the third-party components only, wholesale and franchising, of 2%. The consistent stream of cash generation and the normalized CapEx needs granted us the chance to slightly increase the payout ratio from 77% to 80%, and therefore the board will propose to the shareholder meeting a dividend of euro 0.18 payable on May 26. On page 2, we have the breakdown by product, where you can appreciate the acceleration in the second half of both categories, with apparel growing of about 30% and footwear of more than 5%. The growth of apparel is driven by the expansion both in the domestic market, plus 13, and in non-domestic, plus 35. A year ago, Italy was representing more than 70%, and now is 67% of the total. The proportion of apparel on total sales in Italy is now approximately 25% of the total, while in the rest of Europe is below 10%. Given the growth mode of this category, it will represent more and more a consistent opportunity for the group. Moving to page 3, you have the breakdown by region, where we have Italy that in second half of 2010 has grown 7.9%, Europe 6.1%, North America 11.1%, and the rest of the world 17.1%. Within Europe, German-speaking countries, France, Spain, Portugal, and Scandinavia grew high single digit. U.K. grew mid-single, while the only red area is Benelux. In North America, the performance of Canada was better than U.S. one, being in the low teens. In the rest of the world, the only negative countries are Greece and Russia, where, as you know, we are restructuring our presence. The more positive are Eastern Europe, Poland, Bulgaria, Czech Republic, and Greater China. All in all, the proportion of these emerging economies in the total sales portfolio has grown from 12% to 13% during 2010. Given the GDP growth rate in this area of the world, this is a remarkable opportunity to return to a steady growth rate. Please turn on page 4, where we have the sales analysis by distribution channel. Here you have the evidence of the success of autumn-winter collection among the consumer, as the aggregate of wholesale and franchising has overcome the initial backlog that was 2%. For franchising, this is due to the good reorder campaign vis-a-vis a pretty strong sell-through. In this respect, the decline of wholesale is substantially in line with the figure of the autumn-winter backlog as communicated back in May. While franchising has done better of the backlog, plus 16.3% due to the significant portion of reorders. Please note that the pre-delivery of Spring-Summer 11 is not a factor in this good performance of H2. As we are very consistent from season to season in the amount of Spring-Summer we ship before the year end. For the sake of clarity, this non-material amount is a customer request because in many markets, the new season merchandise has to be on the windows with a significant advance. In the entire year 2010, the DOS channel has grown of about 21%, more than 30% in the second half. This means about 35 million due to a space effect of approximately 21 million euro or 14%. In this item, we consider also the normal dynamics in and out of the franchising stores we own and we sublease to our best customers. As said, the accumulated like-for-like performance is positive for 7%, being an amount of about 6 million euro, with a pretty consistent growth among the major different countries. Double-digit growth in US, UK, and Benelux, only Spain and Japan are negative. The balance is represented by the Forex. To my previous comments, let me highlight the final outcomes of the full price autumn-winter collection that, as I said, grew at a 14% pace, given the strong performances across the board in all major countries, driven by France, Germany, and Hong Kong, and only one growing at single digit, Spain. On page 5, we show the like-for-like punctual and accumulated of the last 5 years, where you can see that the Q4 2010 is the best of the last 3 years and in line with the pre-recession levels. One point that I would like to underline is that the said performance in our DOS has been obtained only with a few points of additional markdown versus previous year. However, the said commercial action has not affected the global yearly performance, as the DOS gross margin of the entire year 2010 versus 2009 is a reduced approximately of 130 basis points. On page 6, we have the chart with our monobrand network. The total number of stores at the end of 2010, as I said, is 1,039, of which 252 DOS, 618 franchisee, and 169 under license. The net openings of the year have been 31, 8 DOS, 7 franchising, and minus 4 under license. Our total openings since the beginning of the year have been 117 and the closure 86. The breakdown is as follows. Italy openings 35, closure 18. Europe 17 openings, 21 closures. North America, 1 openings, 7 closures. Rest of the world, 64 openings, 40 closures. Even in the fourth quarter, we have kept the pace of opening, 28, and at the same time, the process of improving our brand image, terminating the contract of small stores located in not AAA areas, 22. The limited size has the negative side effect of not permitting the development into the apparel category. Our plans for 2011 are to have approximately 100 new locations, 25 DOS and 75 franchisees, with the following breakdown: 40 in Italy, 30 in Europe, and 30 in the rest of the world. In Europe, the countries where we will have net openings are going to be Italy, France, Benelux, Portugal, and Spain. In the rest of the world, we already secured location on the following countries: Poland, Bulgaria, Czech Republic, Iran, Kazakhstan, Greece, Philippines, Taiwan, Bolivia. Before Livio's presentation, let me give you an update on Spring-Summer 11, which is confirmed at 2% growth on wholesale and franchising channel. As of today, we have delivered around 60% of the initial order portfolio. For the Spring-Summer 11 season, as we anticipated back in November, I confirmed the gross margin dilution versus Spring-Summer 10 of about 400 to 500 basis points due to unfavorable Forex, due to the devaluation of Euro versus US dollar in terms of hedging, higher markup granted to the distribution network. For the second half, or Autumn-Winter 11 collection, we have just started the order intake, and therefore I'm not in the position to give you any comment. As far as gross margin of Autumn-Winter 11, I can say that our target is to have a gross margin substantially in line with the Autumn-Winter 10 one. This is due to forest effect will be partially offset by the expected lower use of air freight that penalized 2010. Chance to keep under control the pressure of the cost of raw material, also thanks to the favorable impact of the withdrawal of the anti-dumping regulation from China and Vietnam. Action on price mix. Favorable mix effect because the proportion of our DOS sales will be higher. And finally, the higher markup to the distribution will not longer be a difference. Thank you for your attention. I hand over to GF CFO Livio Libralesso for the financials.
Good evening and good afternoon to everybody. Let's go now to page 8 to comment GEOC's full year income statement. Consolidated sales reached 850 million, as already commented. Gross profit was equal to 415 million, 48.8% gross margin, down 180 bips compared to last year. The main part of the decrease is due to the already mentioned heavy amount of air transport, 3 million in the first half and 7 million in the second half. While the positive effect of a channel mix, some savings in the cost of the fall winter products due to a different sourcing geography, and also the US dollar edged at 1.50, have mainly offset the negative impact of the promotional selling activities and of the higher markup granted to our wholesale and franchising channel. Selling and distribution includes sales commission, transport costs, and credit management. The amount is 44.7 million, slightly higher than last year. We confirm that we do not have any material risks with the bad receivable, thanks to our strict control on credit, which, as you know, are mostly insured. G&A expenses were up 210 bips, 14 million compared to 2009. This increase is totally due to the operating costs of the new DOS that we opened in the last 12 months. In fact, the core G&A, excluding the retail network, have been flat as a percentage on sales and shows a reduction of 1 million compared with last year, thanks to a very strict cost control. Advertising and promotion was 47.4 million, 5.6% of sales, compared with 5.3% of last year. The EBIT adjusted declined by 450 basis points. The EBIT reported, net of asset impairment and special items, declined by 250 basis points. The EBITDA adjusted of a special item was down 420 basis points, totally in line with our guidance. Income taxes, the tax rate is 35.7%, also in line with the guidance. At the end, net result was 58 million, 6.8% on sales versus 66.7 million of 2009. Flip to page nine, summary balance sheet. Again, totally in order and very healthy, with a strong net cash position of 92 million. Page 10, operating working capital. The operating working capital was a normal 21% on sales versus 18.4% at the end of 2009. The increase derives from inventory, and this is totally due to a better timing in receiving the Spring/Summer 2011 products in October and November, 20 million more than last year. Accounts payable did not offset these early receivings because at year-end, they were already paid. Receivables decreased a little bit in line with sales. Page 11, the cash flow statement. You see that operating cash flow was a good 89 million in 2010. The operating cash flow fully covered the capital expenditure, 32 million, and the distribution of dividend amounting to 52 million. The remaining 7 million increased the net cash position that, before the fair value of hedging contracts, is 180 million, compared to 101 million of 2009. The effect of fair value hedging contracts is negative for 16 million and mainly reflects the hedging of Spring/Summer at 1.24, compared with the year-end exchange rate that is 1.34. Let me now hand over to Geox CEO, Diego Bolzonello, for some final remarks.
Good evening to everybody. Before the Q&A section, let me make some comments in our company management strategy. As you know, after the worldwide financial crisis, we decided to accelerate the transformation of our business model from the classic shoemaker wholesale company to a real, very modern retail-focused one. First of all, we start, as you know, increasing the distribution margin. This is to help our retail partners in the more challenging consumption environment. At the same time, the supply chain was completely transformed in order to better replenish the store according to their sell-through. In addition, both our sales campaign, Spring/Summer and Fall/Winter, were divided into four different sub-collections, including the basic collection, a must collection, a fashion one, and during the season, the flash. Third point, very important, the quality of the product was being improved by putting a strong focus in the fully outsourced supply chain that now is fully under our control, from the selection of the raw materials, the leather, and so on, until the quality inspection system. Keeping the flexibility in the supply chain, we were also now able to keep under control our gross margin with a very strong and high-quality production partners. We are reorganizing and implementing our already strong team by hiring a new team of managers, especially in the operation area, in the marketing area, into the retail area. So all the area where we are changing completely the strategy of the company. In the marketing strategy, we put in place a new system of communication to underline the technology and the innovation on the Geox product. The portfolio of the patented technology has been increased next to the original perforated rubber sole and the leather sole and the climate control jacket. Now we include also the new waterproof system called Amphibiox that we are launching now and the new tonic shoes named Energy Walk. A completely new technology was developed put in place in the Formula One driver shoes. As you know, we have recently signed a technical sponsorship agreement with the world championship team Red Bull in Formula One. From next year, this super breathing technology will be applied also in our spring-summer new collection. Now we are implementing also our retail operation. From the merchandising, the visual concept, to the sales personal training, so that this is really the real focus of the company now. The like-for-like of our shop have immediately shown an improvement, and so we can say that now we are confident that we will meet the 2011 market consensus. Our thinking about the future scenario for Geox is then very positive. So I think now it's time for the Q&A session, and we can go.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you that you may register for your questions by pressing star followed by one. The first question from Mr. Francesco Lavecchia from Morningstar. Mr. Lavecchia, please. Mr. Lavecchia?
Sorry. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yes. Oh, sorry. So I would like to know if the polarization process in the wholesale segment will affect your distribution policy, and so how long are you going to grant higher markup to your distributors?
No, we don't think that the process that you mentioned, which is a given fact in the today's markets, will affect our markup policy, as the two channels, franchising and wholesale, has exactly the same marginality.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, thank you.
There are no further questions for the moment, ladies and gentlemen. I remind you that you may register for your question by pressing star followed by one. The next question from Mrs. Liu Sigerhurst from Morgan Stanley. Mrs. Sigerhurst, please.
Hello, good evening. I wondered if you could just give us a bit of feedback from the wholesalers on the new products that you talked about for spring, summer. And then secondly, just if you're seeing, you talked about the product mix and the favorable impact moving towards more retail distribution, but are there any pricing benefits that you're seeing coming through on the new product? And then the final question, just in terms of the guidance and the colour for 2011, you've obviously given us quite detailed guidance on the gross margin expectations, but can you give us any information on cost savings that might come through and expectations for the EBITDA margin? Thank you.
Okay, I take the first one and the third one. The first one is about first anticipation, if I'm not wrong, of how Spring Summer 11 is received by our customer base. Unfortunately, I don't have that many information because I have just, you know, very raw numbers, raw feelings. So I don't want to, and you know, the more reliable sample is represented by our DOS normally. But unfortunately, this year, and I think it's
the combination of the weather that is still on the winter mode in our major markets, and the fact that the Easter this year is quite at the end of just in the middle of the spring, the share, the percentage of spring summer product sales in the total of the current heading is indeed not a reliable sample to give you a precise or even a rough insight. In terms of guidance for 2011, I think the market expectation that out are sales 865 million, EBITDA 115 million. Given that for the first half of 2011, the third party's sales are growing at 2%, DOS performed strongly in January and February, but this is still linked to the autumn-winter 10 markdown period. And just as I just comment, the spring-summer 11 sales are still a negligible percentage in DOS. I don't have elements to judge on like-for-like on the whole season. Gross margin are suffering during the first half for the reasons we mentioned earlier, but we are working to keep them in line in the second half vis-a-vis autumn-winter 10 margins. The opening plan that I just communicated, 100 net openings, is absolutely on track. So given these premises, as long as I don't have a finalization of autumn-winter backlog and the DOS like-for-like, of at least March and April, what I can say that we feel confident that we will deliver those above market expectation.
Thank you. Was there anything on the pricing benefit coming through on the new product as well, please?
Okay. So we, in terms of pricing, it's something that I just comment probably in a more not precise way about when I said that we work on the price mix. There is some sort of, and it's absolutely out there, it's in all the newspaper, these increase of the input cost. Which is, thanks God, in our business or in this building has not been so severe in the pricing activity for autumn-winter 11. But there is no doubt that we have worked quite selectively on the retail price of certain products, passing to the consumer portion of this increase in the input cost. Of course, as you can appreciate, as we are out on selling autumn-winter 11 for competitive reasons, I can't be very specific on the number, the precise number of price increase that we have put on our autumn-winter 11 price list.
That's great. Thank you. One final follow-up, just very quickly. In terms of the comparable store growth in the fourth quarter, it's obviously ahead of expectations. Can you just give us any colour on where the beat came in terms of geographical split as well? Thank you.
Yes. As I said, the average is 14%. I have below the average Benelux and Canada and UK. I have on average Spain and Italy and the Netherlands, where we don't have that big presence, by the way. And I have above the average, France was close to 20%, Germany close to 19%, Hong Kong close to 16%. And also Japan was quite good. I should consider that in case of Japan, it's probably an easy comp story more than a dramatic improvement of the performance, but the numbers are saying so.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next question from Mrs. Mara Garbero from One Investments. Mrs. Garbero, please.
Good evening. I was wondering if you can just help us in understanding the pressure and the gross margin in the fourth quarter, which was below the expectation at 48.5%. And secondly, a clarification on your guidance. Is it correct to assume that in the first half of the year, your gross margin will be more or less close to 46%, and then in the second part of the year, it will be maybe close to 47%, which is the gross margin you achieve in the second half of current year? Thank you.
Yes, you are right. We expect that next year, in the second part, we can recover the margin and consequently to have the margin in line with the autumn-winter 10. As far as the fourth quarter, we prefer to speak about season because if you look at the quarter, it can be some misleading indication. You know, to give an example, this quarter is very, very strong. We have it's 30% more than last year, both in wholesale and franchising, that is up 40%, and DOS, that is up 25%. These alter the mix, and it seems that the margin is lower than last year. So in any case, it's a very strong quarter. So we prefer to look at the second half as a total. Comparing second half 2010 with the second half 2009, you see a reduction of 160 basis points. The only real net effect can be explained with the greater use of air freight in the 2010 that represents about 7 million. The Forex positive in autumn-winter 10 and better markup to retailers negative have offset each other. And the higher markdown, the DOS channel already mentioned, just a few points, is offset by the more favorable mix we have as a company, as the sales of the DOS are contributing more. So we can say that second half is similar to the full year at margin. Full year at 10 is 48.8, in line with 49 that was our guidance.
Next question, please.
Next question for Mrs. Valentina Romitelli from UBS. Mrs. Romitelli, please.
Good evening. I was wondering if you could provide us a bit more color on the trend in orders for your wholesale channels, which you indicate still around a couple of percentage points improvement, which is more or less what we had at the end of Q3. It's you know, it's a bit surprising as you have been performing better than expected in these months. So could you just explain the fact that orders have not accelerated a bit?
Yes, this is a seasonal business. And we have approximately three, four months of lead time. Therefore, for spring, summer, we collected order from, let's say, mid-July through October 31st, and we communicate, and then we start, we run the production. This is the example for any spring, summer, and this is the example for spring-summer 11. So we start passing production orders to the factories, and let's say we receive the products in our distribution center November, December, basically December, January, February, March. And we start delivering at the end of the year, namely in the last 20-25 days of the year, we start delivering the spring-summer. And these are the orders.
From year to year, we have the chance to buy or to run or to launch production for a few hundred thousand pairs more or pieces of apparel. And this is basically what we keep as production for reorders. In the past, and this is a practice that we introduced a few seasons ago, we have what we call NOS, never out of stock. We have certain products, mainly the more classical, the more evergreen products, that we use to have basically always on stock. And this is what we basically use for reorders. As I said earlier, Spring-Summer 11 collection is basically not started in terms of sellout, mainly in the southern part of Europe. I can tell you from the beginning of the year, if I take just my stores as a sample, only 9% of the total sales from January 1st through February 28th, last week, only 9% was represented by Spring-Summer 11. So just to give you an answer, it's too early to say whether the product that we have ready in our distribution center for reorders will be needed or will be requested by our customer base. And this is for Spring-Summer 11. Of course, it's strictly linked to their sellout. We adopted the policy, the NOS policy I mentioned, but again, it's too early to say now that the first part of the year will be better than the 2% that we mentioned. If you look at the second part of 2010, you have seen that the majority of the uptake in the sales that we have discussed earlier comes from our DOS and not from the third parties, because at a certain point in time we didn't have product for them to deliver, because again, this is a seasonal business. I don't know, sorry to be so articulated, but the question requires to me a longer answer.
It's okay. So the point is that from early November, when you reported last time, and now the picture of order on this season is virtually the same, simply because you were very close to the end of collection.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay.
Sorry.
Next question for Mr. Peter Farren from Brian Garnier. Mr. Farren, please.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Just two questions. Firstly, I just want to confirm for Q4, given franchising and wholesale were stronger than I'd expected, were there any early deliveries there? I know it's a very small quarter, but I was just wondering if there were any exceptionals there. And secondly, I wanted to confirm your euro-dollar hedge rate for the second half of 2011.
As far as the Q4, and this is linked to my last long answer, I'm sorry, again, the franchising was better than the backlog, and wholesale, and this is for reorders, and wholesale was absolutely in line with the backlog. So everything we had on order, we delivered, and we delivered something more because of request of reorder. As far as early delivery, as I said during my presentation, we have a fixed amount. It's indeed an amount, more than a percentage on sales, on portfolio, let's say, and on backlog that we ship. Again, before the year-end spring-summer product, as a matter of fact, before June the 30th for autumn-winter product. And it's much more a request, and it's below 5% of the total order portfolio at the current level of portfolio that we have right now in the region of the 300 something million euro, regardless which season is. It's a request, especially for the German-speaking countries, because strange enough, despite the weather in those countries is cooler than the south of Europe, you sell a decent percentage of spring-summer products even during Christmas time or January, and again at the beginning of July for autumn-winter. We have, for example, the catalog sales, which are part of those in those markets, and they need the products in their DC even earlier. The second question was the hedging. The autumn-winter 11 hedging was 133. Vis-à-vis autumn-winter 10, which was 150. Okay.
Thank you.
Next question from Mr. Stefano Cornegliani from Intermonte. Mr. Cornegliani, please.
Good afternoon to everybody. I have four questions, if I may. The first one, if you could give us your feeling about the huge discrepancy in performance you've seen at DOS level, directly operated store level, vis-à-vis the multi-brand channel. Secondly, if you could quantify the level of CapEx and the tax rate you're expecting this year. Thirdly, just about a confirmation of what you said earlier about the inventory, the spike in inventory we've seen at the end of the year, if it's just connected to, I would say, some anticipation in taking finished products, and the reason because trade receivables did not go in the opposite direction, so justifying a higher inventory. And finally, the number of directly operated store openings you are planning this year in a context of, if I heard correctly, 100 mono brand new openings. Thank you.
I take the first one. I was concerned because it's the first conference call where you didn't give us the first question. Anyway, why our DOS are performing better than mono than multi-brand? I think, I mean, we have a collection of, let's say, 1,500 styles in footwear and several hundred in apparel. And I think that DOS are, of course, representing the huge effort of building a collection, not just putting on the table products that we are doing in the building, we have been doing in the building in the last few seasons. If I look, if I go, you know, in detail, why DOS has performed so good, I should say. One element, in addition to the traffic, and that explain why we overperformed. Traffic was around plus 9, and we make plus 14 of like for like. It's because UPT and transfer and conversion rate, but the unit per ticket is the key. I mean, when I see that my DOS has the ability, because of the space, because of the size of the collection that I put, the combination of shoes and apparel, to me it's a good explanation of why monobrand, and I should put franchising as well, is generally performing better vis-à-vis our brand than multi-brand stores.
So, CapEx, we maintain a guidance of 45 million. Tax rate, 35 should be the normal tax rate for our group according to the current structure. As far as the working capital, inventory, the total amount of the inventory is 172, out of which, if we look at the new season, spring-summer current 11 is 108 million, compared to last year, spring-summer 10 was 84 million. Consequently, we received 23 million more than last year, thanks to the early production planning. And in fact, we've been able to deliver at February 60% of the total season compared to 52% of last year. So the level of service to the customers is improving. So yes, you are right, the increase is totally due to the new new collection. If we look at the receivable at year-end, they deals with mainly with autumn-winter. You know that, and they deals with franchising and wholesale because the DOS does not generate receivable. And wholesale plus franchising is a little bit down as turnover compared to last year. Consequently, also receivable is exactly in line with the decrease of the sales.
I'm sorry, I may be mistaken a few minutes ago. I was referring to the payables, and the reason because payables are not going in the same direction inventory should hint.
Yes, you are right. Our payment condition with the sourcing countries are 30 days. The early receivings refers to October and November, 22 million. Consequently, at year end, we have already paid these early receivings. So payables are, zero, and inventory is up 20 million.
Okay.
As far as the stores openings, the net of 100 is 25 DOS and 75 franchisees. As far as the geography, I should say few of them are Italy. The biggest part of the balance is Europe. Basically, out of these 100, as of today, I have around 60, 65, let's say, not signed contract, but good level of negotiation.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next question from Mr. Andreas Waldburg from Wonga Asset Management. Mr. Waldburg, please.
Hi, good afternoon. Just a quick question on the dividend. If I'm not mistaken, the dividend was 20 cents last year and you're cutting it to 18, is that correct?
Yes, you are right.
So can you give us a little bit of a background why you're cutting this dividend?
Let's say that, you know, the net result is down 13%. We decided to cut just 10% the dividend. And the main reason is that the operational cash flow is 89 million. Consequently, we invested, as I said, 32 million. We paid 52 million in 2010. And so we think that this kind of dividend policy will maintain in the company this level of cash. And so we can give back the cash to the shareholders in excess, let's say.
So what does that mean for the future, though, in terms of your dividend payout ratio? What can we expect going forward?
We hope that we will be able to increase the net result, and consequently we can also increase the dividend.
So you're going, you've always been paying out at least 50%, right? In actual fact, you've been paying out a lot more in 2009.
In the past, the payout was 50%.
Yes.
Last year and this year, we increased the payout to give a premium, let's say, to the shareholders. Given this, our strategy, we don't see any material investment, and consequently, we can still continue to pay an important dividend.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
If I can just elaborate a bit on this investment issue, because you have to think that we don't have factories. The only investments that we can think about are buying store chains, which is quite a complicated type of process of negotiation, because especially in Europe, but this is true everywhere, in the moment when you want to change the brand, you want to change the products that are sold, the various landlords across the world are creating huge obstacles in the transfer of the leasing contract from the old company to the new company. Therefore, we are quite prudent in starting this transaction, because what you can end up is that you pay some money, some so-called key money, for something that you basically you don't enjoy. So that's why the investment that we are doing in the sales, in the stores network, are much more, the 20-25 openings of the OS that we have in the plans, plus the renovation, which is becoming more and more important as long the network is growing. Next question, please.
Next question for Mrs. Paola Carboni from Equita SIM. Mrs. Carboni, please.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon, everybody. I have three questions. First of all, I'm wondering about the performance of the wholesale channel in the fourth quarter, because there has been a strong, on a second half basis, it is perfectly in line with what was anticipated by the order backlog. But the trend is very different in Q4 from Q3. We already knew that you had the postponement of deliveries, but just for a few million euros, 6 million euros, if I remember well. So I'm wondering why the timing of deliveries has been so skewed towards Q4 in 2010, or maybe there is any other dynamic now impacting the wholesale, the multi-brand channel specifically. Then second question is on the input cost inflation. Considering your timing in production and in sourcing, I guess that most of the impact from input cost inflation should be felt in the second half of 2011. In particular, I'm wondering which kind of dynamic, which kind of inflation you are factoring in for the full winter 2011 collection, in particular as regards leather and rubber. And my final question is about the fall winter 2011 backlog. I know you can't anticipate anything because it has only just started, but
I'm just wondering which kind of feeling do you have in terms of evolution of the number of doors. Should we take into consideration a similar dynamic to what we have seen in the spring summer 2012, so let's say a rollover effect in terms of polarization and in terms of reduction in the number of smaller multi-brand doors? Thank you very much.
You're welcome. As far as the performance of the wholesale, to Livio's point about margins is the same point. I mean, I think that there are no particular reason why 6 million, to your point, has been shifted from Q3 to Q4. What I compare every single day is what is my backlog? Am I delivering the totality of my backlog? To my previous point, the gap versus autumn-winter 9 backlog of autumn-winter 10 for the wholesale channel is exactly the gap that we have in the actual sales. So this means that I don't see any particular strange things on the wholesale. The reason why franchising are doing better is because, first of all, franchising are allowed to make reorders. We have an internet system.
Yes, I got it. Okay, so
yeah,
you answered already my question about the multi-brand channel. This was my specific question about the multi-brand channel.
As far as input cost, in the last week, indeed, the very, very last week, the price of the leather has seen an increase. That's no doubt about that. For autumn-winter season, we are confident that we can basically manage the impact because we anticipated the majority of our purchasing or the the negotiation step in the last month of 2010, namely November and December, because we are out of selling now, but we prepare the collection starting on September, October.
Mm-hmm.
So there is before entering the very first order, you need to have the bill of materials, the production timing, basically the cost. So you go out to negotiate the raw material price. And therefore, we have the agreements signed in November, December, when the price pressure was not so bad. The magnitude of our purchasing needs is so significant. We are buying millions of square feet of leather that we can play on the different types of leather in terms of class, attributes, and therefore price. And the fine-tuning of the usage of the different type of leather on the different product category can drive, I should say, savings on the cost of the finished product. As far as the oil price, which to your point can affect rubber, but more than that, transportation, we are not seeing any material impact on the sea transportation so far, because again, our rates are negotiated at the beginning of the year, namely at the end of 2010, when the tension on price was not that intense.
Mm-hmm.
I should say that probably in air freight, we may have some impact, but hopefully the impact in this year, 2011, accounts of the air freight will be negligible. The anti-dumping regulation, I would like just to elaborate a bit on this, because this has affected both Chinese and Vietnamese production. It's basically a direct effect of 10 to 12 percent of lower import duty. It's different between China and Vietnam. The indirect effect is that we can move some production from higher countries, higher cost countries like Brazil, for example, to China, where there is available capacity and a good manufacturing know-how. And of course, there is the passing through of some input cost increases on the price list that on a very selective base, I can confirm we have done in the price list of autumn winter 11.
Okay. Sorry to, I have just a follow-up on this point.
On the fall winter 11 backlog?
No, on the gross margin and the input cost inflation.
Yes.
Because it seems that you were lucky in negotiating your sourcing costs.
Maybe not lucky. Not lucky.
No, let's say, no. before the recent further increase. So should we expect this point in time that we will see a rollover effect in terms of higher input costs and therefore impact on gross margin, if not on full winter 11, maybe on spring summer 12? So it's just a matter of timing, and this is my question.
First of all, we are after three seasons, we may have some help from the exchange rate. I am out. Livio and I, we are just start hedging the spring-summer 12 buying season. And as of today, there is for sure an help of something around 5, 7, 8% of improvement in terms of exchange rate. This could help.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, to my previous point, a collection is a combination of different styles, but it's also a combination of different materials. So given the fact that you can pass everything on customers, I mean, I think, and we are now doing the merchandising for spring-summer 12 collection. The goal, again, is to have a good balance between rising input cost and rising retail price or sell-in price. About one very qualitative comment on the fall winter 11 backlog to your question.
Mm-hmm.
Fall winter 10 for franchising and wholesale anyway was a very good season. They sold almost everything of the Geox products. So if we count on that, we are quite we are moderately optimistic on how fall winter 11 will be received by our customers because they have sold very good the previous counter season. I mean, and this is everything to see with the two different channels. I mean, and this is probably one explanation also of the different performances. I mean, our DOS has immediately catched the recovery and autumn winter. I'm sorry, and the third parties, franchising and wholesale. Of course, they have bought a year or so ago, and therefore we expect again at least that there is room for our products. Let's say.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
A new question from Mr. Andrea Bonfa from Banca Aletti. Mr. Bonfa, please.
Hello, good afternoon to everybody. Very quickly, if I understood correctly, to a previous question, you mentioned that you expect to increase net profit in order to pay an higher dividend. Does it mean that you expect to report an even higher net profit than the 58 million of this year? And if that is the case, I'm wondering how can you reach that target or that objective, taking into account the guidances that you released, let's say, today which is for a stable gross margin in the second half of 2011 and minus 400, 500 basis points for the first half of 2011. So are you assuming a much higher sales than the 2% preliminary for the spring-summer 2011? Or are you assuming that selling, distribution, G&A and AP will be substantially flat? Thank you very much.
Yes. No, I was telling that obviously the purpose of the team is to create value, and so all we are very focused in increasing the net result of the company in the medium term. As far as next year is concerned, the guidance is that you have heard, and we confirm what we have said about first half and second half in terms of only gross margin.
Okay, thank you very much.
There are no more questions. Hello, just a new question from Mrs. Paola Carboni from Equita SIM. Mrs. Carboni, please.
Yes.
Yes. Can we say that this is the last one?
For me,
thank
yes. Yes, sorry, very, very quickly. Can you just repeat your comments on 2011 consensus instead of a real guidance, let's say, just a comment on what the market is expecting. Thank you.
Sales 865, EBITDA 115. And we are fully confident that those two numbers will be achieved.
If I'm not wrong, you said that we will do better than that. This was what I wanted to check.
No, I didn't say that.
Okay.
I said I am fully confident that we will achieve those numbers.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There are no more questions.
Okay, everybody. Thank you very much. A very interesting question. The next conference call will be held on May the 12th at 6 p.m. after market closing. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, everybody. See you. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference call is over. Thank you very much for your attention.